This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday, a Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today we turn to the intention of renewal of spirit. We live in a world that gives lip service to spirituality. It speaks of being spiritual, but not religious. Although we do know what people mean by that. Often it isn't a rooted spirituality. In avoiding the traps that have been set up for us, in organized religions, often we avoid the ground altogether, having any foundation, any place to stick our roots, any place to grow from. And that isn't real spirituality. That is the idea of spirituality. As an idea, spirituality is great. It doesn't require any work, and you can merely be spiritual. The intention is the same as the completion. However, in our lives, these two things are very far apart. Intention is merely intention. Completion is never attained. Work is the only thing one can do. But it isn't all work, as the intent of today points us to. There is renewal. There is refreshment. There is support. If we are truly on our path, we will feel that support. Not always. Sometimes not for long periods of time. Everyone who has been on a spiritual path has or will go through dry seasons. Just as every human being who has ever lived will die, every human being who has ever lived spiritually will suffer dry seasons, will go through a type of spiritual death and rebirth. That is the nature of these things. But in that way, we know we are truly on the path. We are truly being transformed. It is not merely ideas, not merely pleasant emotions, not satisfactory notions, but a true path. Every journey has its rough patches, and every journey has its joys. The two are inseparable. To be alive is to be on a journey. It is common propaganda to call Gnostics dualists. Say that we split spirit from matter. Call spirit good, matter bad. As if being a Gnostic were equivalent of not being able to think or experience or see what is in front of your face. When in truth, it's quite the reverse. See what is in front of your face to see a world that is complex, A world in which there is spirit. A world in which there is much suffering. Many forces, gravity, for one, that we cannot ignore. But also we cannot ignore the reality of the spirit. It is strong. It is our foundation. Gnostic is suspended into the cosmos from that foundation, rather than being built up from within the cosmos. The lesson is one that I always remember. It sticks with me for quite some time. When we come to this point again in the year, it stands out again. One of the figures in classical philosophy that has always intrigued me is Heraclitus. In his notion of the word, the logos, seems to have been a large part of what went into Christian understanding in the early centuries. Heraclitus saw the logos as the fire burning behind the appearances of all things. This dynamic energy filling all things, changing all things. Fire is constant transformation, turning matter into energy, transforming it, changing it. The lesson speaks of the fire as being like a tree with bark, branches, fruit. And this fire will consume everything but the fruit, because the rest of it isn't the point. The fruit is the point. This consuming, refining fire we find ourselves in the cosmos. This fire burning behind the appearances of things does not exist for its own sake. Our lives, we must be present and live them. I like the fire. I like the trunk of the tree. They will extend. They will end. It is not a matter of having better bark, having a dog with a better bark. That's a really bad pun. But it is a matter of extending ourselves towards the fruit, the fruits. That which is eternal, which is grown and created from this temporary place. These are merely metaphors. Fiery tree burning. Yet it is a truth. Almost hear the fire. Almost sense it. The fire burning behind all things. The life behind all appearances. The gospel is from the Gospel of Philip. It says, the child of the bridal chamber has seen the light. And speaks of what this transformation entails, what it results in. Many see the term bridal chamber, and even though so much else in these texts are purely symbolic, people always like to pick and choose what they make literal, what they don't. But the bridal chamber in Gnostic texts is a deep mystery. It isn't a marriage between humans. It is a uniting, something we cannot really explain. Transforming, moving beyond. Much of Gnosticism points us towards liberation, to redemption, to becoming free of the cosmos. The bridal chamber seems to point us even deeper into a transformation of ourselves that includes everything else. The Gospel of Philip speaks of the person who is a child of the bridal chamber as not being able to be seen or hindered or detained. That the forces of the world cannot latch onto us, not grasp us. In a Buddhist perspective, we might reverse this and say that we no longer grasp on to things of the world, no longer seek to fulfill our desires, but have had them fulfilled in the deepest possible sense. And the Gospel goes on to say that for such a one, the world has become an aeon, and that aeon has become the Pleroma. That this completion can come to us here. And also, as it says earlier, in that same passage, if we do not find it in this life, we will not find it in the other place. This is the place where the fire is burning. This is our lives, burning, extending. We are living them out now. It is not for the future, not for some other time or place, but now that we must seek the light. Occasionally, one comes across Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, this usually pyramid-shaped chart that shows various levels of need. So one needs sort of the basic things, sleep, food, shelter, and kind of goes up from there until one gets to what Maslow calls the need for self-actualization. And this is often seen as sort of being a step pyramid. One really has to climb up. And there have always been those who look at those in need and say we must address their physical needs. Spiritual needs are unimportant until those physical needs are addressed. That view is very wrong. Maslow's hierarchy is in a hierarchy of actual needs. It may be a hierarchy of felt needs. Some things are much more pressing than others. Your body does not have enough nourishment, it will get your attention to seek that nourishment. And our limited consciousness may not then focus on these deeper needs. They are always there. And in the case of a complete fool, like Francis of Assisi, he sought to fulfill his needs upside down. He turned Maslow's pyramid onto its point and rested everything on the spiritual. If we seek too much to fulfill these other things, if we take too much of our consciousness away from what is truly important, and we will suffer all the more. We can seek security. But as Helen Keller famously wrote, security is mostly a superstition. It is not something that we will ever have in the world. It's a very Gnostic thought. And so, instead of putting off, instead of waiting, and instead of seeing these things as competing, we must leave space, leave attention for spiritual things, for the renewal of spirit in our lives now, not at some distant point or place. And this is very hard. It goes against so much of our nature and so much of our culture. Yet we can. What do we need to do this? We need nothing but our attention, our consciousness, our intention, the turning of our consciousness towards this. That is all that we need. There are other things that help, that aid us. Practices, texts, symbols. But ultimately, without our attention and our intention, those are nothing as well. It comes down to us. The foundation of our spiritual life rests upon us. The foundation of our eternal legacy, our eternal transformation rests upon us. We are this tree of fire, extending beyond the cosmos, into the cosmos, through the cosmos. And the fruit, if it be truly eternal, will continue to transform and exist long after the tree has burnt itself out. We are called to be transformed. Constantly, to seek the light constantly, and to be the light as much as we can constantly. We must hold up our candle flame, though it seems so dim, in the dark world, not only for ourselves to see, but for each other. There is but one candle in a large room. It is dark. It will be filled with people. Yet if everyone holds a burning candle, it is filled with light. So let us go forth, remembering that fire, the Logos, burning behind the appearances of all things. The word that is living, dynamic, transforming, that we touch from time to time and are touched by, that we touch in this service and are touched by. But the transformation that happens here is but a part the larger transformation. The Logos we speak of, and that we meet in symbol and in form, is but a small part of the Logos burning behind all things. So may we seek that light. May we, while in this life, find it. Become children of the bridal chamber, those who have been transformed, those who have been reborn through the deepest transformation, of whom no power may stop, may touch, may hinder, and for whom the cosmos is the aeon, and the aeon is the pleroma. For then we will have returned home, even though we still stand in this world. We will have grasped the pearl. We will have produced the fruit. We will have fulfilled our part of the story. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth and upon us remain with us all.
For more information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG.